like the deity calling to him to worship God. You can worship God wherever you are. If you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you now becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever the Holy Spirit is, that's where God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he resides in you, wherever you are, you the church.
Yeah.
This is not the church. This structure, this mortar, this building is not the church. No, this is a building where the church comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
You saying, where you going? I'm going to church. That's incorrect.
That's right.
I'm going to the building where the church is going to congregate.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know we say, well, we're going to church, but you the church.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I'm just going to meet on 1244 Todd Place.
Yeah.
Where the church is going to congregate.
That's right.
Amen. And when we congregate, y'all know it as the church building.
Yeah.
But the church,
it's me,
is in us.
Amen.
We are the temple. Amen. Amen. We're the temple. All right, let me move on. Fall feast. The three biblical feasts that occurred in autumn. That's the fall. We're talking about the Jewish calendar. Here the three. The Feast of the Trumpets. What's the Feast of the Trumpets? Y'all remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
What was that about the trumpets? That was the what?
That's
the call. Well, the word festival means to call. Give me a little bit more. I think I know where you're going. We're on the same path. But I need to be certain if you understand. Hold on. I need to be certain you understand. What the Feast of Trumpets. What do you think, Brother Jordan? Think of the last word. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Trumpets. We call it the shofar.
Mm-hmm.
And there were distinct sounds, three distinct sounds of the shofar. And each sound meant something different.
Mm-hmm.
And we liken it to the cavalry in Western. You have the charge, and you have the retreat. And then you have the one that gets us together. Okay? And just like the shofar, amen, there are three different distinct sounds. And if you understood what they meant, then you knew how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the second one is the Day of Atonement. Now, what is the Day of Atonement? Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah, tell me.
So, when the priest went in on a certain every act of year, once a year, to atone, give it atone for himself and the
people. Absolutely. You absolutely 98% correct.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 2%.
That's when he sprinkled the blood.
Okay, yeah. Give me 2%. You'd be 98% right. I can't let you walk out with that. You know what here? Want me to answer?
Yes.
The high priest.
Yeah, okay.
Not just the priest.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
This is the high holy day. Just not a priest can go in. This particular priest was groomed.
Oh yeah.
Just like, you know, royalty. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up 6, 4, 7, 5, 8 years old, and they know their king or queen next to the line, they're groomed.
Mm-hmm.
They're groomed. And that's how they were. High priest, they were groomed. So that's why I can't just say priest. You gotta say high priest. All right, the fast, another day for the atonement. Remember, we talked about the affliction, how they afflicted themselves.
Right.
How they humbled themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways of humbling yourself is by what?
Fasting.
Absolutely. And you can fast beyond just not eating.
Mm-hmm.
You can deny yourselves of other pleasures.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily have to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can. It's a fast for the Day of Atonement. This day was not a festive assembly, but rather a day of humbling one's soul. Although the Bible does not command fasting on the Day of Atonement, it does say to humble oneself before the Lord. Jewish sages implemented fasting on the day as an expression of humility and affliction. Now, the New Testament believers kept this tradition even after Jesus ascended.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it even after Jesus ascended. The affliction, the fasting, the humbling of oneself, which should be a practice even today.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Should not necessarily fast because we're going to walk into battle.
Come on.
Amen. You shouldn't just wait till an event or circumstances come. Amen. We should humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. We should have a spirit of humility.
Yeah.
Amen. So when that day comes,
yes.
Amen. We are.
We're ready.
Ready. Yes. Sure.
Can we fast? Set aside the fast.
Can we set up?
Can we allow people?
Peter says some things only come out by
fasting and praying.
Go to church, fast on Tuesdays and Friday. You can fast any day of the week. You can fast how many days you want. That's a personal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a corporate call to fast.
There's a personal.
But individually, we need to, because you know you and I know me. And what bothers you might not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And where you can go might not bother you. But if I go, it would bother me. So there's some things I need to afflict myself because I'm not as strong as I thought or as I think I am.
Amen.
And I cannot afford to be around certain things that you can. So my humility or my humbling or the affliction of my soul is not based upon somebody else. It's really looking in the mirror and not out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever it takes for you, that's what you do.
Amen.
Some of us got to fast 7 days a week. If that's what you got to do, do it. Some of you got to fast once a week. That's what it takes. Do it. But you got to know you. Amen. Because you want to be able to hear and to see when God reveals and when he speaks.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll show you.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes he'll speak to you. I heard a prophet say, listen, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Didn't see it. He heard it first. Then he said, I see it. It is the size of a man's hand. Sometimes you got to hear first.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can see. And sometimes when you can't hear, you won't be able to see.
Yeah.
So man, I ain't never went by. I never heard it coming. That's why you got to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't always speak in thunder and lightning.
Yeah. Right.
He still speaks in still small voices. In Hebrew, Kohen Gadol. The chief among the priests, the high priest is the chief among the priests. The first was Aaron, and all latter high priests and other priests were required to be descended from Aaron of the tribe of Levi. Aaron, he was the first priest.
Yeah.
Yeah. All priests were supposed to come out of his lineage that were a part of the Levitical tribe. Or the tribe of Levites.
Yeah.
That tribe was set aside when God gave out responsibilities. Who was the father? Joseph? Joseph. No, that was Joseph. Who had the 12 sons? Jacob? There he is. But Jacob had them 12 boys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But we got Manasseh and what's his name?
Benjamin?
Benjamin.
No, Benjamin was the youngest brother. Manasseh and
the 12 tribes.
Right, you know? No, you're talking about Joseph. He was Joseph's boys, right?
Jacob.
Jacob? Yeah. Some 12 by the same name.
the 12 tribes. Uh-huh. 12 tribes of Israel.
Issachar,
yeah.
Zebulun,
uh-huh.
Benjamin,
yeah, Benjamin,
Dan,
Dan,
Naphtali,
uh-huh.
Gad,
yeah.
Asher,
uh-huh.
Ephraim,
uh-huh.
And Manasseh.
And who?
And Manasseh. I'm sorry.
Manasseh.
Yeah.
Who did I say? Did I say Manasseh?
Yeah, you said Manasseh. Okay.
So it's Benjamin and Manasseh.
Benjamin was Joseph.
It's more than one Benjamin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's more than one. It's more than one Benjamin. Where you, who you got?
Reuben, Ephraim, Judah, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, and Joseph.
How many you got?
12.
You got 12. What's the difference?
It said the biblical 12 tribes of Israel were descended from the 12 sons of David. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Gad, and Joseph. They said, who are the 12 tribes today? Send one from Israel, 10 of their original 12. Promised land after the death of Moses. They were named Asher, Dan, Ephraim, Gad, Issachar, and
Manasseh.
Yeah, Naphtali, Reuben, all or grandson.
Mm-hmm. Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Jacob, because something took place when Jacob blessed his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Mm-hmm. That's how they get the original, the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something took place. And that's why it's important to study the tribes. And when the Levites were given responsibility, they were set aside.
Mm-hmm.
They were set aside. They didn't even get land.
No.
They didn't receive a portion of land. They were supposed to take care of the temple and the priests.
Mm-hmm.
They were sanctified, so to speak.
Right.
Their purpose was God.
And
the house of God, yes.
And all the tribes were to take care of them.
Absolutely. Right. The other 11, the other 12, working. The other 12 were supposed to take care of them. Yeah. And this is where we get the concept, you know, people who support ministry.
Right.
Priest as your pastor.
and those who serve in ministry, everyone else took care of the financial responsibilities,
mm-hmm.
the material possessions, the labor. Their job was to serve God.
Yes.
To serve the house of God. To make sacrifices. So when you look at the priest, he comes out of the house of Aaron. Out of the house of Aaron is where the high priest comes. So the high priest was distinguished from other priests mainly by being permitted to enter the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. Only the high priest had oil poured over his head, in contrast to ordinary priests who were just sprinkled with oil. Now, I need you to understand that. One of the distinguished difference between the high priest and an ordinary priest was what? And what else? How did you know who was a high priest and who wasn't? Enter in on the Day of Atonement. Not a beard. Because you could be a priest and have one. A beard didn't necessarily make you the high priest. Yes?
No, that's what. How they know who was the high priest? I mean, because the inner in is like one of the like responsibilities. What made them the high priest?
First and foremost, they had to be chosen by God. And the outward sign was, not only because he was called to be the high priest, but he was able to go in on the Day of Atonement. If he was not right, he could die. And that's why they had a rope around him. And it wasn't necessarily a cowbell, but his robe had little bells on it. And every time he moved, you could hear. But when you didn't hear no sound, they would drag. Because he, if you wasn't right, you could die. Yeah. Yes.
Now, did the high priest come from the lineage?
Of Aaron. Mm-hmm. Of Aaron. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the Levite.
That was that. Aaron. Aaron was the first priest, high priest.
And they were sons.
He was one of the first sons that were born.
Hmm?
He was one of the first sons that were born. That I think it was four.
Aaron.
He had nine.
So, my Aaron? Oh, who are we talking about?
Jacob, his son.
Oh. You got me confused now. We're talking about Aaron, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about Aaron. Okay, we're talking about Aaron as the high priest. Mm-hmm. And he was, out of Aaron came all priests.
Right.
Which came out of the tribe of Levi.
Levi, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was two of his sons that offered up strange fires, and they were
absolutely. That's how significant, and the word significant means important, the office was to be a high priest. Now, at the anointing
mm-hmm.
of the high priest, oil was poured.
Right.
That's what you get. It came down the beard
of Aaron.
Of Aaron. At just a regular priest, it was sprinkled.
Right.
Now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Now, the ram's horn
mm-hmm.
is where they took a ram's horn and pour oil inside the ram's horn. Y'all got to catch this because I'm going to stop it. And when it came time to anoint the priest, they took the horn with the oil in it and poured it on
him. Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have, I know we have it, we don't have anointing service
mm-mm.
like they did in the Bible. I don't think too many of y'all would come. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No. You get it. I talked to a guy the other day, and he said he went through $10 of oil. but to $10 of oil. Yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It poured on you. It ain't like what I do. Because you, that's, cause y'all say that.
Thank all this. You don't get all this.
I got a little bit. But in biblical time, no, they poured it.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's how it came down. It wasn't like, you know, no, they poured it on Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And it came all the way down. Mm-hmm. Come down. You know that you've been
anointed.
I know, yeah. What light will we do today? Yes, sir.
That represented a special assignment, a special consecration, a special anointing that represented also the Holy Spirit, that all represented that when they did it to David, they poured it on him.
Not just David.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just David. Aaron come way before David. Mm-hmm. So David was the first one that was anointed. I'm just telling you how it was in this time, in biblical time. The war was like he did you. And we ain't ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't putting all that on my head. You ain't messing with my clothes. Now you got to remember, now was the ram's horn and the what's the other one? Oh, I can't remember the other one. I had to come back to it. It was two that they used. And whatever they used was significant to the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to be anointed from this as opposed to that.
Right.
But I'm just talking about the priest and the priestly lineage, how important and how significant it was. Mm-hmm. Now the Holy of Holies is the innermost room in the tabernacle or the temple, only 15 square feet, containing the Ark of the Covenant, the holy place, a large room, and the Holies of Holies were divided by a heavy veil, made of blue, purple, and scarlet fine twine linen, richly embroidered with figures of cherubim. The holies of holies. Remember, when you look at the tabernacle, you can break it out in three parts. You can bring it in three parts. The outer court, the inner court, the holies of holies. All right, inside the holies of holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody were not permitted behind the veil. When Jesus died, remember I tell you a type and a shadow. When Jesus died on Calvary, what happened?
The veil was rent.
The veil rented from what? Top to bottom. They were so large, Sherelle, it took 400 people just to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And it torn by itself. Now, what was the significance of the veil being ripped apart when Jesus died? What does that mean? Yes. The covering is not there. It's no longer there. She says the covering, but a better word is brand new.
The barrier.
The what? Barrier.
The barrier.
The veil. That which separated us. It's no longer there. That which separated us. Because remember, we weren't allowed to go. No man was allowed to go beyond the veil.
Right.
That's what dictated the Holy of the Holies. That's what the high priest did once a year. But when Jesus died, the veil was written now. We can go
behind the veil.
But you want to go. You want to go right.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you don't want to go before God. Yes.
And there's still a sacredness. Even though the veil isn't there, it's still sacred. You like you said, you ought to want to go right. Yeah. You ought to want to be prepared to go behind the veil. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys didn't just, because they were the high priest, okay, it's my turn to go. There might have been a little bit of fear in there.
Oh, absolutely, because
out.
Right.
You know, I got to make sure
that I'm right.
That I'm right.
Zachariah. She talking about Zachariah. I don't know if he was a high priest. Let's go to the book. Let's go to Luke. Look, let's go to Luke. You don't have to speculate. We can go to Luke.
Here we go. 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold,
I got you. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
You will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe by my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.
So he was
says, and it came to pass that verse 8, and when it came to pass that while he executed the peace offer, so it's not said that it was a high priest.
It would have been a high priest, But his mutation
became
his silence came
because of his unbelief.
It's that simple, because he didn't believe. Now, why was this so important? Why would this God shut his mouth? Wouldn't allow him to talk. What do you think? No, that's why. Why would God? I'm not. Take his leg from him.
I'm just gonna throw it out.
Yeah.
And I know it's not his. But he was a priest.
Yeah.
And he worked in a temple, and God gave him a message, and he didn't believe it. It's about his faith.
No, it was the unbelief about what he told his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The office, it has something to do with the office that he had?
No.
No, it's just the unbelief.
He didn't believe it. It says in the, what would you read? It says, 20th verse, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
Now, who is it that he didn't believe?
He didn't
believe. That's why he's going to be touching that whole age.
Yeah.
As a priest, he would need to speak.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his court, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayers is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What? Yes.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this like the 10 days of atonement?
No.
Is this the repenting of the people? Or no, this is just what he going to do.
What you reading? You reading what I read?
Yes, sir.
Well, right here says, this was not the high priest burning incense of the day of atonement. It was the burning of the daily incense at the altar of incense.
Okay. Now, y'all, what you don't want to do is confuse the event and what took place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you want to deal with atonement, the day of atonement, or you want to talk about Zacharias being muted?
No, my whole question was, I thought he was a high priest.
No, he was just a priest.
He was just a priest.
Okay, he was a priest. But the question came from that was, why did God take his voice from him? You answered me.
Because as a priest, he needed to speak.
Absolutely. What is a priest? What is one of the functions of a priest?
A priest is to bring to man what God says. No,
no,
to represent man to God.
Priest. Okay, so just, this is what we study. There's no difference between a prophet and a priest.
Right.
What is a prophet? What is the function of a prophet?
The prophet.
Say
it.
Right. The prophet is one who speaks to man concerning what God says. The priest is the person who speaks to God on behalf of man.
Amen.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Prophet, from God to man. Priest, from man to God. That's why the chief priest will go in with the sins of man.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Yes.
All right. When God, now see what was that got my knee out of joint bars. He said, your prayers were answered.
Mm-hmm. So he was praying for this thing.
Go to that verse.
Uh-huh.
And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer
is heard.
He's muted
because he don't believe the answer that came about his own prayer.
Now listen, the theologian suggests that he has stopped praying this prayer, because now he and Elizabeth is of age, beyond
the
what
year
we call childbearing. So the suggestion is that he has stopped praying that. But the angel says, your prayer has been answered. 18th verse, he silenced because he didn't believe. He didn't believe what he prayed about.
We do.
Don't let us. Don't beat him up. Because he got over now.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is over.
Right.
And you know, the Lord said, go too late now. You know. So, the Lord's suggestion is, he's going to offer. The Lord's suggestion is, he stopped praying. Now here's the curveball from. See if you can catch this.
Okay.
Just because you stop praying,
don't mean God is not, they're not here.
So you got to be careful for what you put out there.
Uh-huh.
May not come when
you want to. Yeah.
Now you get, that's all. But Lord, I want that Lamborghini.
Uh-huh.
Want the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Been praying for a long time. Mm-hmm. Never got it. Mm-hmm. Stop praying.
Here it
comes. And here comes the Lamborghini. Because there's two things that people will take back. And that's what?